Well, good morning, everyone. How are we? Good to see you. Today is our last day of Philippians, as Carrie just said. This is our 20th sermon through the book of Philippians. So if you've been here through it all, just give yourself a high five. Proud of you. There you go. Super excited for you that we've gone through this book. It's been a great book for us, and excited to close it out today. You know, culture is a strange thing. Culture. Because here's what happens in cultures. There's often actions we take, things we do that are just cultural norms that we're completely like unaware that we're doing it. We just do it. A way that we see culture multiple times, I mean, all over the world, is how we greet people and how we say goodbye. That's just a cultural norm that we kind of do culturally. Let me explain what I mean. If this is your first Sunday here, and I'm sure that there's someone in here that this is your first Sunday, if we met right at the end of service and I went outside and we're there like, you've never been to Keystone, well, welcome. And I greeted you and I just came in for a full-on hug and put my arms around you and just held it there for like, just let it sit. Just let it sit here. And I held it for 10 seconds. You'd be like, that is culturally wrong and you're creepy and I'm never coming here again, right? Because there's just some cultural norms that you don't do. Likewise, if we've known each other for years and years and years, and I'm sure this is going to happen, that there's many people that we hope will move to Bloomington Normal as we plant a church there. And I've known you for years, and you're off to go plant with Daniel to help plant a church in Bloomington Normal. And I'm like, and we've known each other. We've like ride or died. We've been friends. I'm like, and it's your last Sunday here, and I see you walking. I just go, oh, see you later, and then just walk off. Like, that's culturally inappropriate, right? Because there's shared relationship. And we're in this book of Philippians, we're at the goodbye section, but we're gonna see that there's some cultural things happening here with their hello and goodbyes. You know, tomorrow is a hello and or a goodbye that is kind of a cultural moment. It's the go back to school. You know, there are some parents, I've actually talked to a few parents who are dropping off their oldest for the first time at college, and that is not an easy experience. So sometimes drop-offs are hard, especially for some of you parents who are dropping off maybe some kindergartners for the first time, or maybe dropping them off at middle school for the first time, or maybe high school for the first time. But the drop-off is hard. And it's in those moments you kind of like hear a background of a song in the background. I will remember you. Will you remember me, right? So there's times when those goodbyes are hard. And then there's others of you that you're a parent and you're ready for your kid to go back to school. Thank you very much. And the song you hear in that transition is, it ain't no lie, baby, bye, bye, bye. And you're actually doing the dance. You're into it because you're ready for them to go back to school. So we're going to look at the hellos and goodbyes here of the Philippian church, because we started off and there was a strong hello. We started off in Philippians 1, verse 1. It says this, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've read through the book, we find out that that's just not a formal greeting for Paul. There's a deep friendship and a kinship there for him, that they are dear friends. But today, we're going to wrap up the book. And as we wrap up the book, there's also this goodbye. Look at chapter 4, verse 21. And it says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And we see that it's not just a formal goodbye for them as well. As we've looked over the whole book, there's a deep friendship and partnership with Paul and the Philippians. It's almost like for them, as this book is ending, it's more like, I will remember you. Will you remember me? Because they're so tight together. And sometimes when we read like little sections of this in the end of Philippians, it's kind of real simple for us to just blaze past. It's like, oh, it's the hellos and goodbyes of the book. We're kind of out. Let's move forward and let's get into Colossians, which is the next book. Not that we're preaching through, but just like if you flip the page. Because it just seems like, oh, it's the hellos and goodbyes, and we kind of move on. But there are some great things we can learn. So here's what we're going to do today. We've had this hello and goodbye. And as we wrap up, we're going to kind of look back over some of the things we've learned together as a church over the last 20 weeks together. And so it kind of looks back, and we've kind of had these four P's that we've kind of seen surface to the top over the whole teaching. And so the first is there's a past that they have. They have a shared experience. They also have a partnership. The Philippians and Paul have this shared mission that they're going to go together. Prison is also a theme that kind of rises and falls as we've looked throughout, and also that there's an expectation that they will progress. So we're going to look at all of those things. And at the very end, we're going to do a kind of a deeper dive into the exact text today, because it's not just greetings and goodbyes. There's actually something, a beautiful truth for us to learn there and an application that I want us to follow. So we're going to jump in and see, kind of look in the rearview mirror of all that we've seen between the greetings and the goodbyes, and kind of say, God, what have we kind of bubbled to the top of this series? So the first is this. The past. There's a deep shared experience between Paul and the Philippians. It started in Acts 16 when Paul went to Macedonia, which is a state that Philippi was in, and he actually introduced the gospel to Lydia and her family, and they all come to faith. And then he stays there and they start this church together. You can read all about it in Acts 16. And in the midst of that, Paul's in the streets and he kind of delivers a slave girl from a demon. He gets in trouble, gets thrown in jail. He kind of escapes jail, kind of, but then he leads the jailer to Christ. It's kind of this incredible story in the past. And when we read the book of Philippians, where we're reading it, it's 10 years from when that happened. And there's this incredible past that they have together. They've been supporting each other through the whole things. And so that, as we've learned that lesson, we've looked at their past, I'm going to ask some questions about these things. My question for you is, who are you creating shared experiences with? Especially around your faith. Who's kind of in your life that you're creating shared experiences? You can remember people as you look back along your journey with Christ. You're like, they were there. They're with me through all of these moments. Because Paul and the Philippians had a shared experience. And that experience kind of wasn't just like, we tell stories about each other. They were partnered together because they didn't just have a story. They shared a mission. Philippians 1:3-6 says this, "And I give thanks to my God for every remembrance of you, always praying with joy for all of you in my every prayer because of your partnership in the gospel from this, the first day until now. I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." They had a deep relationship. They had stories that they could tell with each other. But beyond that, they had decided to take their past and actually join together and be partners so that they could expand the gospel all around the known world at the time, but also that they could just walk together and be in partnership together. In fact, the only reason that we have the book of Philippians in the Bible is because of this deep partnership. The Philippians knew that Paul was in prison, and they're like, listen, we know he's suffering, so we're going to send a gift because we want to ensure that he has everything that he could possibly need because we're in partnership with him. They're in partnership. They had this shared mission together. So here's my question for you. Who are you partnering with in your mission to know and follow Jesus? Who are you really partnering with? Because here's what's interesting about our culture. We are an individualistic culture, aren't we? We want to do everything on my own. Like we start, our kids say it when they're little, I do it by myself. And I'm going to be honest, I see a bunch of 40 and 50 year olds saying, I'm going to do it by myself. And it's as bad for them as it is for toddlers when they say it. The reality is that we have a responsibility that we're not supposed to do it on our own, but we need to partner with people. We need to say, we're in this together. Many of you are in connection groups. We push connection groups so deeply because that's our hope, is that you have somebody that you can partner with together. One of the partnerships that we see between Paul and the Philippians was because of prison. And yes, prison is a kind of a topic that kind of ebbs and flows throughout the book, but it's not just prison in particular. It's that they had a shared suffering. Prison is all throughout this book. But what's interesting about prison and Paul in the Philippians, it was there from the very first days. If you go back to Acts 16, I mentioned it just a second ago, Paul has delivered a slave girl from a demon, and then he gets in serious trouble with the officials in Philippi. This is Acts 16, verse 23. I want you to hear this. And after they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them in the inner prison and secured their feet in stocks. Like, from the very early days in Philippi, prison is a part of the situation. There is suffering guaranteed. And what we see from Paul is this ridiculous nature in him, that in the midst of suffering, to still put his trust and hope in the Lord. Because the next verse is 16:25 in Acts. It says, and about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. In the midst of his suffering, Paul has the ability at midnight. I'm out. Like, I'm asleep at midnight. I don't know if any of you other people go to bed early like I try to, but I'm out. Paul's up. He's singing. He's happy. And in the midst of his suffering, he has somehow inside of him the ability to look to God. And you think, well, that's kind of weird. He did that one time, but it's actually the pattern of Paul's life. Because now in Philippians, he's in prison again. He's not in Philippi, but he's actually in Rome in prison. And this is what it says in 1:12. Now we're back in Philippians. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually advanced the gospel. So it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is because I am in Christ. Most of the brothers have gained confidence in the Lord from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the word fearlessly. In the midst of his sufferings of being in jail, he's still seeing the positives of it. And he's like, listen, there's people that are encouraged because they realize that I'm willing to stand for my faith, and it's actually emboldened, and they're actually more apt to go share the gospel because what they're seeing. He still has some way to find rejoicing. And in the midst of all this suffering, we see Paul writing to us. Now, this is Philippians 3:1. He says, in addition, remember, Paul's in prison. In addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. He has the ability to suffer in prison, but yet rejoice. So I want to ask us, as we've gone through this book, how are you doing in suffering? Because there's some of you that are walking through incredibly difficult, whether it's emotional, whether it is physical, relational, maybe situational, but there's a suffering. And what we see from Paul as we've looked through Philippians, it's not that he ignores his imprisonment. I don't think he enjoyed it. But what he was able to do is he was able to rejoice not in his circumstances, but in the Savior who was walking through it with him. So as you suffer, are you able to do that? Are you able to find rejoicing in the Lord even if your situation is difficult? Next is progress. There was a deep shared growth that they experienced. If you've been around Keystone for a while, you've read this passage, you've heard this passage, because it's a season that we're calling unfinished. We've used this verse a lot. And here's what Paul says to the Philippians. I'm sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He's saying, Philippians, I know what happened 10 years ago, but I'm confident of this. He is not finished, that God will bring it to completion. We've said the very same thing about Keystone, that we do not believe what God has started in this place. He is finished, that he wants to do more and more. And many of you have joined in with that vision with us. And this is God's work. He's confident that God is going to progress him. In fact, Paul, here, look at what he says, thinking about progress in chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. Not that I've already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I've also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. I love this because Paul easily could have been like, yo, I'm there. I've like been beaten a lot. I've been in prison a lot. So I'm not hanging out in Rome. You guys go figure it out. Keep chasing after Jesus. I'm kind of like in retirement over here. And it's not what he's saying. It's like Philippians, God's going to continue to grow in you. In my own personal life, I've not reached it. I've not grabbed a hold of it, but I am pressing forward and I'm not through. So question maybe as we've gone throughout this book is, where are you in your progress to become more like Christ? Whether you've been a believer for 5 days or 50 years, are you kind of in neutral? Are you kind of like, yeah, I did that. Yeah. You know, back when I was in high school, back when I was in college, or a few years ago, I was really into God's word. But where are you? Because there's a deep progress that both the Philippians and Paul are holding on to. Just kind of a recap of those four P's that we've seen all throughout the thing. So let's kind of dive in this morning to the rest of the passage. This is 4:21 through 23. Read it with me. Hopefully you have your scriptures or it's on the screens. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. So you're like, man, this is the goodbye. What's really here? Let's talk about studying the Bible. Many of you are Bible students or you're pressing in, how can I study the Bible more? One of the things that we teach is listen, as you're reading God's word, one of the things that you can pay attention to as you're wanting to find emphasis are repeated words. And there's some words here that are repeated quite a lot. I'm gonna read it again. And you see, greet and also saints multiple times. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All of the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's house. We see the word greet or greetings three times. We see the word saints two times. So let's dive into these words because it can be really instructive for us this morning. Like I said earlier, every culture has appropriate greetings. Every culture kind of has the way we greet. If you and I were to meet the queen, there's an opportunity that we would maybe need to curtsy. I'm not sure what the guys do, but there's a curtsy if you're going to meet the queen. There's a cultural reality around that. If you're from Japan and you're greeting someone, you're probably going to bow towards them to show greeting. If you're in America, we often extend a hand and want to shake hands. At least that's what we did before the pandemic. No one knows what we do now. And I really feel like the introverts of the world are like, have a lobby going on strong to try to make sure that we never greet anybody like ever again. You know who you are if you're that person. You've really enjoyed the pandemic. So we all have a kind of customary greeting we do. But here's the idea of what's happening in a greeting. The concept is to show recognition and to give honor. It's an opportunity for us to show importance and that you care about those that are around you. So this word greeting, it could be really formal like with the queen, or it could just be with a welcome and embrace with deep friends. It could be very informal, but the idea is with a greeting is that we are showing importance and recognition of someone else. And what Paul's trying to do is like, you need to show recognition to other people. And who does he want us to do that to? To the saints. To the saints. And so what do you think about when you think of the word saints? If you come from more of a Catholic background, you might be thinking, oh, St. Patrick or St. Francis of Assisi, or maybe Mother Teresa, who was a saint. And maybe that's like they're a person that's really did some really awesome God stuff. Or maybe you just have more of a cultural understanding of a saint. A saint is someone who brings you hot chicken noodle soup when you're sick, right? You're like, oh, you're a saint. Someone who kind of meets us in our need. That's what we think of when we think of saint. And some of you who are football fans really think that the saints are from New Orleans and we'll pray for you because they're not. I don't even like them. But we all kind of have different understandings of saints. But let's look into what the scripture would call a saint. What is a saint? So to do that, if you've got your scriptures and you want to just actually look, it's just across the page in my book. Maybe you scroll up. Colossians 1:21. Colossians 1:21 says, once you were alienated and hostile in your minds as expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. That word holy there is the exact same word for the word saint in Philippians 4:21. There's literally no difference in the original language. And here's the idea. The idea in Colossians is like, listen, you were once, you were alienated from God. You were all in your evil actions. But when you bowed the knee to Christ, believed by faith that he is the only one who could save you, you all of a sudden turned spiritually from an enemy of God into holy, set apart, not because what you had done, but because what Christ had done. And in the original language, that word for holy is the same word for saints. And the idea, saints is a great way to translate it, but it literally means a holy one, someone whom God has made holy. And some of you need to hear that this morning, because you walk into this place and you don't see yourself as Christ sees you, as holy. You see yourself as a failure. You see yourself as always messing up. And what God has said, if you are in him, he has taken you from evil to holy, and you are a saint. Not because what you've done, but because what Christ has done. And your ability to say, I can no longer save myself. I bow the knee to you for you to save me. Christ Jesus. That's what a saint is. So a saint is every believer, anyone who has bowed the knee to Christ, that's who a saint is. Every person who has been saved by the gospel of Jesus Christ is a saint. It's not held for a specific person, it's for anyone. And so the reality here, as we pull these two down, this is what Paul is saying to the churches here. He's saying this: show recognition to every holy one in Christ. That's our application, that we should be showing recognition to every person who is in Christ. Every holy one in Christ, we should be showing recognition and importance and deference and honor to one another. And so what's interesting is this is a huge umbrella term for every believer, but we also see it playing out in local expressions of churches, even in this text. In verse 21, it says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. And so Paul had written this letter to the overseers and deacons of Philippi, and what he's instructing them to do now is say, hey, listen, for every saint in Philippi, greet them. And so I want to show you, this word saint is a huge umbrella term, but I'm going to kind of show us what that would look like in that situation. So here's an umbrella, and I just found out this morning that if you open an umbrella inside, it's bad luck. Well, deal with it. So I didn't know that. I was like, what, are you kidding? Some people really had terrified faces when I opened an umbrella. So anyways, so when we're in Philippi, there are saints inside of that church. If we go all the way back to Acts 16, we see Lydia, we see the jailer. We see it mentioned in the text in chapter 4, is there's Eutyche and Syntyche, and there's all sorts of other believers inside the church of Philippi. And he's saying, listen, inside the church of Philippi, greet one another as saints. Show recognition to every holy one inside of Philippi. There's a reality inside a local expression of a church to show recognition and to realize that every saint deserves recognition. And so there's an application for us, Keystone. We should show recognition to every believer who is in this church. There should be some sort of unity and reality and importance towards each other inside of this church. And this, honestly, we do this pretty good, church. But there's a real temptation, because our culture does not like unity. Our culture teaches us to not see people who are like them in Christ and to find unity together, but it actually, our culture teaches us to find everyone who disagrees with you and cancel them. And unfortunately, that mode of operation can work its way into the church in our sinful moments. We're not showing recognition of every holy one in this building, but we're showing what our preferences are on our pet topics. And Paul is trying to write to them and saying, listen, inside, your identity and your formation should be that you are a holy one in Christ. You are a new identity in the gospel, and you should show recognition to each other and have unity together. So inside the church, recognize every holy one. But keep reading. He says in verse, it continues. It says, greet everyone, every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. So that was the instructions for the Philippian church. Now we're at it coming from a different church because Paul is under a different umbrella in Rome. And while he's in Rome, there's another little umbrella of the expression of God's kingdom there. And he says, listen, in Rome, there's a whole different set. The brothers who are with me, they send you greetings. We find out in Philippians 2 that those two brothers are Timothy and Epaphroditus. And he's saying to them, he's like, listen, the brothers who are with me, they're recognizing all of you believers in Philippi. They want to show you respect and honor. And then he's also saying, and all the saints in the Church of Rome, they want to send you greetings, especially the ones of the household of Caesar. So what's happening here? The Roman church is radically different than the Philippian church. They're in Rome, the capital city. There would have been a massive diversity of believers there. There would have been some believers from Jewish background. There would have been believers from Gentile backgrounds. There would have been believers from all sorts of walks of life. And all of those saints, we want them to send you greetings all the way in Philippi. And check this out, especially the household of Caesar. Now, why is that in there? Because apparently there were some in the household of Caesar. Now this doesn't mean like, if we said that, that would mean my family. But in that time, it wouldn't have just been his family. It would have been anyone who was associated and serving Caesar. So it could have been the slaves in Caesar's house, whether free or not free. Apparently some of those slaves or some of those people in his household had come to faith as well. And he's saying, and they are sending you greetings. Now this is where it gets interesting. We know that the Roman government, we're not exactly sure who Caesar was here. It very possibly could have been Nero. But any way we slice it, the Roman government was never kind to Christians in these days. In fact, we saw Paul going straight to jail because the Roman government said, not on our watch. And so for the people in Philippi, they would have heard this. Hey, the people who were serving, the very leaders who were persecuting you, they're sending there your greetings because they recognize that you guys are all under the same umbrella. And Paul is trying to get the Roman Christians to care about people that are not in their circles. But he's also trying to train the Philippians to recognize other holy ones, even though they were coming from a totally different culture. It's almost like he's trying to get them to lay down their own umbrellas and pick up a bigger umbrella. And when he pulls this one out, it's much bigger. And it's much more diverse. It's not just exactly from their things, but there's people from all over the place. And he's trying to get the Philippians and the Roman churches to greet each other and say, listen, brothers and sisters, you're to greet and show recognition to anyone as who is in Christ, because if you are in Christ, you have been made holy, and we are all under one big umbrella. And this is another point that we see pulling out inside of Philippians, and this is a passage. He's trying to get everyone under this same umbrella. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly wait for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's like, listen, Philippians, you need to make sure inside your context that you're greeting and you're recognizing and showing honor to each other, all of you. But the Roman church, they need to think outside of themselves. And Philippian church, even though there's some people that you might not understand, you need to receive the greetings from them, because we are all under one umbrella, the work of Jesus Christ. And then he ends it in a prayer. The prayer ends this way. And it says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. He ends in this doxological prayer. He's praying for the Philippians. Like, how do we want to apply that in our lives? Here's what I would say. We have an incredible way to think about that, this exact text this week. Here's the idea. Show recognition to every holy one in Christ. You know, as we've gone throughout this week, there are two groups of holy ones who have experienced incredible difficulty and suffering, and they deserve our recognition and prayers this morning. Afghanistan. An incredible amount of suffering going on in that country. Actually, it's been hard for me to watch some of the news stories because of the heartbreaking realities of it. I have some dear friends who were boat people in Vietnam that lived in refugee camps, and to hear their stories, and it just reminds me so much of those of what's happening in Afghanistan. Did you know that we're not sure? There's no way for us to know these things, but there's a guess that there's somewhere between 2,000 to 3,000 Christians in Afghanistan today. There's pastors who support them that don't live in the country, and as soon as Kabul began to fall, one of the pastors who has interacted with some of those pastors on a consistent basis received a message from one of the pastors, said, "We just received a letter from the Taliban, and this is what it says. We know who you are, what you do, and where to find you." And these pastors now are almost all in hiding, trying to literally save their lives. Another pastor sent out these words to someone who was caring for them and interacting with them when they still had communication. This sounds so much like Paul. Listen to what this Afghan pastor said. "We can trust that our Lord is mighty and will care for his children. And our hope is not in politics, but in Jesus, who is the King." In the midst of unbelievable suffering, in the midst of, they know where they're at, and all of these pastors have gone into hiding. Many, we don't know what the stories are of them right now because they left where they were because they were known hit targets. What an opportunity for us this morning to show recognition to the holy ones of Christ Jesus, because there are some in Afghanistan that are under our umbrella who are suffering. And this isn't a moment just to go, "Oh, let's just be nice and kind." This is the Bible. Hebrews 13:3 says this: "Remember those in prison as though you were in prison with them, and the mistreated as though you yourself were suffering bodily." Oh, church, that we would be moved this morning to show recognition to the holy ones in Afghanistan who are under severe suffering, and that we, out of our souls, the way that Paul prayed for the Philippians, we would pray for the Afghanis today. That says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit." And we would ask the Lord to protect them. But it's not just the Afghans who have had a difficult week. Also in Haiti, we talked about this a little bit last week. In Haiti, last Saturday, there was a 7.2 magnitude earthquake. There's 2,100 people are dead. It's estimated that 1.2 million people need emergency services and shelters. And not only that, but the buildings are falling down. There's still some aftershocks. And because the integrity of many of these buildings, most Haitians, if not many to most, are not even going indoors for shelter. And it's all in the midst of tropical storms are going across the island. And this one personally hits home for me too. The largest city, I've been to the largest city that has been destroyed. In fact, I've been to the city that these pictures are taken in. I've actually preached in the prison in this city. We partner with an organization called Go Serve Global that serves this area incredibly. And there's a pastor that I've met and got to know before that's serving this area. And it's interesting that his daughter actually comes to Keystone. So Annie, would you come up really quickly? Would you guys welcome my friend Annie? Annie, man, it's been a really hard week for Haitians. It's actually been a long summer for Haitians. But your dad is a pastor in this area. You know these churches. This is the church you grew up in. What kind of suffering has that church, Synod of E, right? Is that the name of the church?
Yeah, centre de vie.
Yeah. So what have you, what are the people inside that church, what have they experienced and what's the sufferings they've seen this week?
Well, many lost their home. My family had to host many of them. Many lost their like kids and like family members, other family members. No food and no water for most of them. Yeah.
Now, I mean, can you picture your mind? You don't have a house. You guys would all have to come to my house because I've actually been to your house. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
It's an interesting experience for you because you're having to see these pictures. Your dad actually took these pictures. What's it been like for you to, I mean, those are like, that's the umbrella you grew up under, right? And you're watching them. What's it been like for you to be in the States, but yet at the same time, having to show recognition back home for them?
It's been really hard and heartbroken to just like watch like my friends and some of my family just suffering in Haiti. Kind of feel like powerless, you know?
Mm.
But at the same time, I got hope because I know that everything happens for a reason and it's all part of God's plan.
Yeah. Well, I'm just curious because what we're going to try to do is just challenge Keystone that the way that Paul's praying for the Philippians, for us to pray for some of the brothers and sisters both in Afghanistan and Haiti, we want to recognize them. What's some specific ways this week that we can be praying both for your dad's church, but also just the nation of Haiti?
Well, home and food, obviously.
Yeah.
But I would say strength. Physically and mentally and spiritually, so they don't get discouraged by everything that's going on right now.
Yeah. I mean, guys, if you've watched the news, Haiti's president was assassinated like 2 months ago, a month ago?
Yeah,
somewhere around in there. So now they have instable government. They have an earthquake that's killed thousands of people, all trying to rebuild in a very poverty-stricken country. And so here's what I thought we would do today. Often when we think of saints, it's really hard for us to get outside of our brain that it's just the people in this room or the people that go to a church around this around the corner. But please, brother and sister, hear this. The message of the gospel is not American. And the picture of Revelation 9 is that every tribe, tongue, and nation will be around the throne of God and will be worshiping the King. And so what I thought we would do this morning in a way for us to help understand that is I've asked Annie to pray for us, to pray for the Afghanis, to also pray for the Haitians, but to do it in her native, one of her native tongues. She speaks three languages, but to do it in Creole. To picture in your mind what it's like for other saints who are holy because of the work of Christ and how they become to the throne of grace. And so this morning we're going to pray. And so what I want you to do is not just to listen, which is true, but for you to intercede for the Afghans who were literally hiding for their lives, for the Haitians who were searching for water and shelter and food. And let's literally enter the throne room of God and ask Him to move in great ways. Annie, would you pray for us?
Yes. Merci Seigneur pour tout ce que vous faites pour nous aujourd'hui. Merci parce que vous permettez nous capables de venir ici en bien. Merci parce que vous permettez que tout le monde qui conduit venir ici sans que aucun accident pas arrivé au Seigneur. Je dis merci parce que vous permettez que nous capables manger et point. On bagaille que en pile dans nous pas qu'à faire en un moment ça. Ma pomme pardon Seigneur, pardon pour tout péché que nous fait, pardon pour tout péché que nous pas même connaît que nous fait. Ma pomme pardon pour toute fois Seigneur Jésus que nous blessé ou avec des bagages que nous dit, bagages que nous fait et même penser nous Seigneur. Et qu'on a même prié pour Afghanistan et Haïti Seigneur Jésus. En Afghanistan qu'on y a un pile chrétien qui a persécuté par monde qui voulait tuer ou qui voulait juste que stop prêcher ça qui vérité pour qu'on y a Seigneur Jésus. On a prié que ou juste bay ou force et courage pour yo pas décourager Seigneur Jésus dans la foi yo. Ma prière pour Haïti connait Seigneur Jésus, ma prière pour chrétiens yo. Ma prière pour tout le monde dans pays qui t'a perdu yon proche yo. M'a juste mandé Seigneur Jésus que pas quitter ça décourager ou pas quitter ça Seigneur Jésus faire oublier que gain yon bon Dieu dans ciel là cap veille au Seigneur. Ma prière tout ça dans nom bon Dieu dans nom Jésus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Annie. I'm going to give you a hug. Is that okay? So here's the thing. As we wrap up, I want you to remember why the book of Philippians was written. It was because the church in Philippi knew that their brother, who they were in partnership with, Paul, was in prison. And they wanted to make sure that everything that Paul needed was taken care of. And so they took together a collection, and they got a guy named Epaphroditus, and they said, Epaphroditus, why don't you take it to Paul, who's suffering in prison? And so what an incredible opportunity we have. We've recognized two people that have distinct needs. We have partnerships around them. And so here's what we're going to do this morning. I want to show you the screen. This is actually going to be support both Haiti and Afghan relief things. But if you will text a dollar amount and the word Haiti to 84321, you can take out your phone. You can take a picture of that if you want to do it later. You could text it right now. But we're asking that, as the same way that Philippians gave to Paul in his suffering, that for us who know the Afghans and also the Haitians are suffering, that we would remember them and that we would send a gift. And so whatever comes into this, we're going to send directly onto the partners that we have that we trust are on the ground for this. But we would love for you to be a part of that. Would you stand with us? And let's join together as a group of holy ones who know the King, and let's worship him together.